Praise the Lord. Happy New Year to all of you. Alright, let's create some mood in our midst, alright? Yeah, turn to your neighbor and give a big smile and say Happy New Year and happy to see you here. Yeah. Alright, that is great, you know. You know, my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know that 2019 will be a special year for you. Amen. I like that, alright? It's going to be a special year for you because God wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen for that. Right? So I want you to get excited about it. Alright? I mean, in 2018, many things have happened. There are ups, there are downs. But we are always asked to look forward. We are always asked to seek the face of the Lord, as Pastor Daniel has prayed for us earlier. Whatever happened in our past, we want to look ahead and we want to keep our eyes on Jesus because we know and we believe that God always installs something good, something that is great for the kingdom of God, for our lives and for the people around us. So whatever happened in 2018, this morning, I want you to put it behind and ask God to make your faith arise in our midst and keep our eyes on Him today. Right? Okay, so that's how we're going to approach our 2019. But I also want us to know that there's one thing that can hold us back from seeing all the good things, all the things that God wants to do in our lives. And do you know what it is? When we keep dwelling on our past failure, on our past pain, when we quit dwelling on our 2018, all the negative things that happened in our life, when we keep dwelling on that, that will hold us back from seeing what God wants to do in our life in 2019. So don't keep dwelling on your past. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't keep dwelling on your past. Don't let your past be a distraction. Okay? Don't let your past be a distraction. When I was still a badminton coach, after every competition, I will gather my players together. So I will gather them and give them a pep talk, right? So if they won that day, I will congratulate them, I will celebrate with them, and I'll say, you know, guys, you did a good job. But after that, I will quickly remind them, the game is not over yet. You have one more game to go. So don't get distracted by your success. Why? Because whatever they have done before that, the game they played before that, the next team they're going to play will be a totally different opponent, different games. So everything's going to change. So you cannot depend on your past success and then believe that by doing the same thing, you will achieve the same results. So I will tell them, don't get distracted by your past success. Celebrate. After that, I need you to look ahead and look at your next opponent because the game is not over yet. Now, if they lost a game, of course I must encourage them. I say, it's alright. Sometimes they will cry, oh, so sad. I called you, trained so hard and we lost the game. Sometimes to come in and encourage them and to assure them and then also at the same time to ask them, stand firm. Stand firm because the game is not over yet. Don't keep dwelling on your past failure. You know, you may lose this game or you lost this game. It doesn't mean that you will lose again. So don't keep dwelling on the past failure. Look ahead, alright? And I tell them, you know, the reason why I don't want you to keep dwelling in your past failure because it can cripple your performance for the next game. So the way to help them to play a better game is don't keep dwelling on your past failure or success. Don't let that be a distraction. Focus on the next game. And I always tell them that the past cannot be changed, but the future is in your hands. So 2018 may be a good year for some of us. Praise God for that. Or maybe to some of us, it wasn't a good year. Also praise God for that. So whether in 2018 is a good year for you or it's a bad year for you, this morning I want to say to you, don't let it become a distraction from what God wants to do for you in 2019. Don't let it become a distraction because your choice today decides whether you remain in captivity in the past, or freedom in Christ in the future. Around 597 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, captured the city of Jerusalem. Now the people of Israel lost their land. They lost their families. They lost their property. Some even lost their lives. They lost their hope. They lost their future. What they saw ahead was nothing but wilderness. What they saw ahead was nothing but a plain, dry land. Desert. In other words, their future is hopeless. And that's all they could see. Their future is hopeless. They don't see any future for them. And the reason why God gave them away, we all knew, because they had feared God again and again. They broke the covenant. And God blessed, even though God blessed them with many things, but they gave back in return nothing except rejection after rejection. Although they don't deserve anything from God, yet God in Isaiah 43 verses 16 and 19, God expressed His love to them. God expressed His love to them, telling the people, I have not given up on you. And this is what God spoke to prophet Isaiah in chapter 43 verses 16 to 19. And this is what God said to the people of Israel through Isaiah. Thus say the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, talking about the Red Sea, or divided into two, army and warrior. They lie down as they walk across. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. And then God said, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God was prepared to change their lives. God was prepared to do a new things in their situation, to lead them out of their captivity and back into the land of blessing and freedom. But to change the situation, they must stop dwelling on their past. Instead, God saying to them, stop dwelling on your past, start seeking Him. Why? Because God could change the situation. It might seem impossible in the eyes of the people, but God saying today, if you are willing to humble yourself and seek Him, they will see His ways in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. To God, it is possible. To God, it is possible because He had done it before when He divided the Red Sea into two and swallowed up His enemies and set the Israelites free from slavery in Egypt. So God has done it before and He can do it again and He will do it for them today. But they have to decide. They have to decide whether to accept what God was offering and enjoy freedom and blessing, or reject and remain in captivity. So my friends, today, this morning, we do not know what has been going through in your lives, but there's one thing you must know. God is able to transform the desert areas of your life into fields of blessings and abundance. He can take your wilderness or where you are today and desert and transform it into life that will give you purpose and hope and a future. And God is able to. He is able to because He is the same God today. He is the same God who had done it for Israel many years ago when He divided the Red Sea. He can do it for you again, and He will do it for you today if you seek His face. So my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what happened to you in 2018, one thing is very clear to all of us is that you cannot change the past. But if you seek His face today, you will see possibilities in your situation as God sees them. As the Word says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you see it? Do you believe it? The question for us this morning is, will you make a choice to follow Him today? Will you accept what He is offering you today? The freedom, the future, and the hope. But to receive His offer, Three things we must learn to forget. Three things we must learn to let go. Three things we must learn to surrender. Now, God is not asking us to pretend nothing has happened in 2018. It has already happened. He's not asking us to sweep, you know, all the bad things under the carpet. It has already happened. So God is not asking us to forget and pretend nothing has happened. In fact, there's something we should learn from our mistakes. But what God is saying to us this morning is that you don't keep dwelling on it. You know, sometimes we have the habit of keep looking at the back and dwelling on it. And then we got stuck in our past. And God is not able to move us forward because we keep dwelling on our past. And God says it's time that you must learn to let go so that He can do a new things in your life. He wants to do a new things in your life, to bless you, to give you freedom. And so what are the three things that we must learn to let go today? First, surrender your pain and your hurt in the past. Many of our pains is connected to hurts others have caused it. Isn't that true? And if we are not careful in how we handle that pain and hurt, it has the power to shape our future. You know, pain can shape us to become someone very big and very green. When he's angry, he will just tear his shirt. You know who is that guy? You all don't watch Marvel, right? You all should know, right? You know who am I talking about? Hey, that's right, that's good. Okay, give yourself a round of applause, right, for that, huh? You're still young, that means, huh? You know, sometimes pain, if we don't manage carefully, it can shape our lives. And it can make us like Incredible Hulk. When, you know, every time got angry, sometimes we don't even know what we're angry about. And we're angry, we tear our shirt, you know. And this is not what God has for us. This is not the fruit of the Spirit. This is not God intended for us. God does not want us to live a life like that. He wants us to have peace and joy. And so it's so important we manage our pain and our hurt. Because when we don't manage it, it has the power to shape our future. And most importantly, when you don't manage your pain properly, when you don't manage your hurt properly, the next step you will go is that you become very bitter. Isn't that true? You become very bitter. Your heart will become very bitter. And you know what? When you don't manage your bitterness properly, you will become a worshipper of a new God. And the name of the new God is called Bitter God. So don't worship bitter God. Some of you love to eat bitter God, alright? You eat, it's okay. But you don't worship bitter God, you know? That's not God's plan for you and me. So we want to release our hurt to God and ask God to set us free. Now, I know I'm still dwelling in that pain. I know I'm still hurt. I know I have not really forgiven a person. Alright, when I knew it because there was once, somewhere, I can't remember where, but it's something like that. I was walking, and then this guy came out. Now, this guy did something that hurt me in the past before, right? So, I walked, and you know what happened? When I saw that guy walking in front of me, you know what did I do? I practiced my military drill, you know. The belakang pusing immediately. You know, I walk away. I think some of us had the experience too, right? Someone had hurt you. You know, and how do you know that you have not fully healed? It's very simple. When you look at the person, what trigger in you? And if you're not healed, what do? You try to avoid. But I want to share with us, don't avoid. You need to confront that pain and ask God to give you strength to overcome it. And how do we overcome it? How do we overcome that pain? Many couples I know in their earliest day, marriage life, you know, they're full of love and sparks. Pastor Andrew maybe can share with us, alright? They are full of love and spark, so romantic. But that's not for me and my wife. We didn't start our journey of marriage life with full of sparks and love. You know why? Because two of us are very strong-headed. So can you imagine two strong-headed people come together and work together? What kind of spark can it produce? Different kind of sparks. And the kind of spark is very hurting and very painful, right? And so we started our journey like that. It's never easy. But someone asked me, you know, Pastor, you have married for almost 17 years. Actually, yesterday I said 18 years. Actually, it's true, it's 18 years based on the calendar. But our anniversary is in October. So after what I said, you know, married for 18 years, my wife went back, you know, one spark. Dear, you remember our anniversary date wrong. Okay. So, actually, in actual fact, we are married for 17 years. This year is coming to our 18 years. So what really keep our relationship going? Actually, it's very simple after all the years. What we have learned is, first, is to keep praying and seeking the Lord. You know, whenever we have conflicts, we'll start to pray and seek the Lord. And when you pray and seek the Lord will give you ideas. He will give you a road in the wilderness, how to resolve the problems. So whenever I seek the Lord, the Lord will provide a way for me how to overcome it. But the most important thing is, we learn to forgive each other. We learn to forgive each other. No matter how painful it is, we must confront our pain and then say sorry to each other. For 17 years, we are still saying sometimes. But forgiveness is God's way, I believe, help to release us from allowing pain to shape our future. Forgiveness is God's helping us to experience freedom in our relationship with one another. Now, it doesn't mean that because I say sorry today to my wife, it means that our relationship will change overnight. It does not. Or it did not. But what I learned is that when we choose to forgive, it gives freedom to change our future. So, today, if a relationship problems, one of the ways to handle it is to seek God first, and then don't hide your pain, confront the pain, and how to overcome the pain, ask God to give you strength to forgive. When you practice forgiveness, you will receive freedom in Christ. So, first thing is, surrender your pain. Secondly, surrender your mistakes and failure in the past. Why must we surrender our failure and mistakes in the past? Because when we focus too much on our mistakes and failure in our past, it is so easy to feel inadequate. When we keep focusing on the things that were done wrong, not just that you will feel inadequate, sometimes you feel guilt, condemned. And to some of us, you feel shameful about your mistake. So instead of walking in freedom in Christ, we are stuck. We are stuck by our inadequacy. We are stuck by our guilt. We are stuck by our shame because we keep dwelling in the past mistakes. Instead of coming to God and confess and receive forgiveness from God. Actually, after the Christmas, the outreach, how many of us were at the Christmas outreach play? I wish so few of us. What happened to the rest? Okay, I think this morning, bolak. Can we have some energy when I say, let's do something, okay? Yeah. Okay, how many of us were at the Christmas outreach? Hey, oh, look, I like that. Okay, yeah. Hey, want to cut louder, right? Yeah. Okay. Hey, that's the way, okay? Energy, yeah? Now, the Christmas outreach, alright, I don't know how you feel, okay, but for the person on the stage, after the sermon, honestly speaking, I went back, I didn't feel very good. I felt I didn't do a good job. I felt that I made quite a few mistakes. If you didn't realize, alright, I'll let you know now, I made quite a few mistakes. You know, the worship leader got so confused because I was very confused. They do not know when to come in. I look at them, they look at me. So, alright, so I was confused and, after the whole thing, when I went back, I said, what did I do that? Should I have done it? So I think about it and I felt bad. And then the inadequacy came in. Oh, maybe I'm not so good. Alright? So, but I chose to seek God. After that, I just went to God in prayer. I said, God, you saw what happened. You knew that I did my best. And I mean, yes, maybe I could have done better, but I just didn't feel good about it. And so as I pray, as I seek God, God was very good to me. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And for my power is made perfect in your weakness. So I thank God saying to me, by encouraging me, who has never made mistakes in life? Just keep practicing and things will become better. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. So maybe some of us here in 2018, you make some mistakes. And you're wondering how to move on in 2019. I want to say to you this morning, God's word for you is, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. So don't give up. Even if you don't do well in 2018, as a parent, as a student, or in a workplace, you don't give up. You keep practicing. And God will help you to become better as you continue to seek Him. So friends, whatever mistake you make, know one thing. God is bigger than your problems. God is bigger than your mistakes. God is bigger than your failure. And always remember, His grace is sufficient enough for you. So stop dwelling on your mistakes and failure. Seek God today and look out for the new ways, the rivers God has already prepared for you. It's not preparing, it's already prepared for you. That means it's just right there in front of you. But you must stop looking at the back. You must start to look ahead, seek God, and God will show you where the road is in the wilderness. So secondly, you surrender your mistakes and failure. Thirdly, you surrender your loss and gain in the past. I talk a lot to the staff, my colleagues. I also talk a lot with Pastor Daniel, our senior pastors. And through them, I learned something about Kuz. And I realized that Kuz has a long journey. We have been around for many years. And during the transitions, everyone, because they tried to fit into a new wine skin, so it wasn't easy for everyone. And in the process, we might have lost something very precious to us. We might have lost some good friends. So in the process, we might lose something very precious to us. But we also gain something very new to us. For example, the new building. And after several years of struggles, Kuz managed to turn the shadow into light. And now with the new building that God has given to us, we are actually celebrating the faithfulness of God. We rejoice the faithfulness of God. You know, in fact, I'm still amazed by how you guys raised that money within a short time. I'm still amazed by it, and I can only say it's only by God's faithfulness, by His grace, it's only by His faithfulness. It's a miracle, in case you don't see that. It's really a miracle that how within the short period of time you managed to raise that money. It's only by His grace and faithfulness. But I also want to encourage us, we need to move on to the new things God has given to us. There are things that in the past we lost, it's painful to us. There are things that in our past that we gained, we celebrated for it. But it's very important to, you know, for us to see the new things that God wants to do in Kuz, in your life, and for this church, we must learn to release them, trust God, and then begin to look at God's face and ask Him, God, what is your will? What is your purpose for my life? What is your purpose for Kuz? Where are you leading us this year in 2019? And we want to move on. And we want to move on because I believe God always prepares something that is greater and better than 2018. Last week, our senior pastor, Pastor Daniel, shared with us his vision for the next 2 years. Can you remember what are they? Can you remember? Let's do it, try it out, okay? Okay, give you a clue first. Invest in ourselves. Alright, that is one. Before that, invest in leadership. That's right, alright? Pastor Daniel talked about investing in leadership, investing in ourselves, right? Do more exercise, keep ourselves fit. You know what? For my 1 year at Kuz, I realized I lost 3 kg. Really? I want you to know I lost 3 kg not because the work here is too burdensome and heavy, right? It's not because of that. And it's not because of you. You are very nice people. You have been a blessing to me. I enjoy spending time with you, sharing with you God's word. Also not with my colleagues, alright? My colleagues, they are fantastic. I love them. And we have a good team working together as a family. I want to tell you why I lost 3 kg. Sorry? Spark. With my wife? No lah. I tell you why. Because during one of the sermons last year. Now, in my previous church, we don't have screens like that, you know. It's very, no such screen, okay. During one of my sermon, right, I was preaching. Then I turned around. Then I saw my face on the screen. Then I got a shock. I couldn't believe I was so big. So I said to myself, I better do something, all right, so that just to make myself look better on the screen. So I think I look better right now, right? I think so. Praise God for that. Very thick skin. All right. Okay, so Pastor Daniel talked about investing in leadership, investing ourselves, investing in spiritual family, right? Investing in our community and evangelism. And then he also talked about investing in the next generation. And we also talk about the family values, right? Can you remember the family values, the acronym of the family values? Can you remember? We did some action. Let's try it again. Somebody still remember. Okay, F stand for? Alright, I like you. You are very fun guys, you know? Okay? And A stand for? Affirm always. Very good. M stand for? Make time to connect, right? I stand for? Ignore. Very good. L stand for? Listen to understand. And then, Seng Siong. Chen Shi Wei Learning. Alright. You are not alone. And then, Kus, right? So, you know, I thought this is not just a very good values for, family bonding. Actually, it is something that is very effective for evangelism too. Do you know what I'm saying? Because imagine you're a person of fun. Now, fun doesn't mean just go around and, you know, every day jump. That's not the kind of fun we're talking about. Fun, talk about you're a fun-loving person means you're positive, you have the energy, and you smile, you're, you know, people look at you, they say, wow, you know, I like to draw close to you because you're such a fun person to be with. So that's the kind of fun we're talking about, right? So imagine you're a very fun person in your marketplace. At home, at school, you will sure attract a lot of crowds because they will want to suck energy from you, right? Because most people, they don't have this kind of energy, but if you have, they will want to draw near to you. They want to stay with you. So it's a very effective tool for evangelism when we are a very fun person. We don't want to be, alright, someone like sensen, you know? You know what sensen in Hokkien means? Well, boring, like, but sensei in Hokkien means, sensei is Hokkien, in English means you look very boring, like no life like that. And I'll tell you why, alright? I want, for my personal conclusion, I want to say why Japanese restaurant is the only restaurant where all the staff, the employees are always in low morale. You know why? Japanese restaurant. Because when I step into the restaurant, the first thing they will say to me, simi masien, simi masien. It's very this, you know. So we don't want to be like that, alright? Okay. Anyway, alright, in case you don't understand what I'm talking about, right? Simi masien in Hokkien, it sounds like, you know, life is boring, alright? So we don't want to be like that, right? We want to be a fun people. Yeah? We want to be someone who always affirming. Right? Always affirming. And you can practice it right now. Nick, go turn to your neighbor and say, you look great today, right? You turn. And I can assure you, your neighbor will give you a smile. Whether they believe you or not, you say you look great, they will smile. Alright? Nobody will say no to you, right? So you if you imagine you're a very affirming person, you make people happy, they like you, and you make time to connect with them, bring them out for coffee, teh talet, talk to them, and when they did something wrong, you are not xiao qi, petty, you are always willing to forgive and say it's all right. And then when they have needs, you are willing to listen to them without judging them. And then when they need help, you are there for them. Tell me, if we practice this value to the marketplace, to the people who doesn't believe in Christ, if you practice these values, I can assure you, it's just a matter of time. They want to come to KUS. They want to know about KUS. They want to know why KUS is so different. Isn't that true? So this value, I thought it's very good for evangelism. So if you don't know how to do evangelism, don't know where to start, practice this value. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Do it. I can assure you, God will use you mightily. Alright? So let's don't dwell in the past. Our pain, our mistakes, our failure, our success, our loss. Let us release them to God. But let us continue to seek the face of the Lord, because we believe God is preparing something new and better for us ahead. So let us don't keep dwelling on the past, but let us look ahead and prepare for the new things God wants to do in our life. But how do we see God's ways in the wilderness? How do we see river in the desert? There are three things you must forget, but there are three things you must remember. So what are the three things we must remember? The first thing is this: pray for wisdom and revelation. Do not underestimate the power of prayer. Pastor Daniel shared with us earlier his conversation with his friend. It is true. When we are in difficult situation, we tend to forget about the power of prayer. We tend to rely on our own strength and solution, try to create our own ways and roads in the wilderness, try to create our own river in the desert. Where we can turn to God and ask God to show us where the road is already is. And so, don't underestimate the power of prayer. So if today you are going through something difficult, I think God is saying to you very clearly, seek Him and pray for wisdom. Pray for revelation. Isaiah saw God, and God is holy and mighty and powerful when he was praying in the temple. When he was seeking God in the temple, it was at that moment God opened his eyes and helped him to see God as he had never seen God before. And when he saw God, the Bible said to us, he bowed down and began to praise Him and started to say, "Holy, holy, holy is my God." So it is in that prayer God opened your eyes. It is in that prayer God gave you wisdom. Our senior pastor also shared with us that the vision God has given to him is not something that he prayed the night before or the day before. He has been praying. And then through prayer, God opened his eyes and give him wisdom and revelation for what he wants to do for us in 2019 and 2020. So my friends, seek God and pray. Seek God and pray, and he will open your eyes to see his way in the wilderness and rivers in your desert. Secondly, first you pray, remember to pray. Secondly, obey God more than your own feeling. Obey God's truth more than your own feeling. A good-looking and intelligent boy came to me one day and said, "Pastor, I don't feel good about myself. I feel that I'm not good enough. I don't feel God loves me. I don't feel I have a future. I don't feel that I'm good." But you know what's the problem? The problem is, the Bible clearly say to everyone of us that God loves us. It was already in the Bible. It is in the Bible. This is the truth, that God loves us. And in Jeremiah 29:11, God even say that He has a plan for us. So what happened to this boy? This boy behaved in this manner, and he's thinking in this way because he trusts his own feelings more than God's truth in his life. And so for us to move forward, we cannot rely on feelings to make decisions. We need to base on God's truth. What is God saying to you about your situation today? If you have not received the word of God today, then seek God and pray and receive the truth in your life and obey it. Even sometimes you don't feel it's right, obey it. Obey God's truth and you won't be wrong. How many of us are afraid of cockroach? Okay, yesterday a member came to me, you know, Pastor, I was surprised that you are afraid of cockroach. He said usually are the women who are afraid of a cockroach, not men. I don't know what she's trying to say. But when I was younger, I was afraid of cockroach, especially the flying cockroach, right? I hate it. And so I had a conversation with one of my colleagues a few days ago. And to my surprise, she was afraid of cockroach too. And so she was sharing with me that she was so afraid of cockroach that one day she had a dream. She dreamt that she was forced to marry to a cockroach king. I said to her, sister, I think your problem is more serious than mine. Last time when I saw a cockroach that can fly, I really freaked out. And when I saw a cockroach fly, I will be the first to run away. But one day, God spoke to me. God said, come. Joe, you come. I want you to look at the cockroach. And then I want you to look at yourself. I want you to compare your size and the cockroach. Tell me, which one is bigger? Then I thought about it. It's like a revelation, you know. I said, whoa, it's true, huh? The cockroach is so small, I'm so big. Why am I so afraid of the cockroach? That prayer, that truth gave me revelation. It's a wisdom of God. My life was never the same anymore. So during one of my studies, alright, I was studying and I was in the kitchen, I was studying. And then I found out there was a cockroach on the wall. And I couldn't concentrate anymore. My textbook was in front of me, but my eyes were keep looking at the cockroach. When it's going to fly. And then finally, it flew. So I rolled my textbook into a baseball bat. And I aimed at the cockroach. It flew towards me, really. And then, before I hit, right, I said this. The one who is in me is greater than the one in the world. Pew, pow, whoa. That was a breakthrough, man. Since then, I'm never afraid of cockroach anymore. Of course, I still won't catch cockroach with my bare hands. I still need a plastic bag to catch a cockroach. But the truth is, I'm not afraid anymore. The truth has set me free. Amen, right? And I learned one lesson, right? Because at that point, my feeling was so deceiving. But my feeling kept telling me that cockroach is very scary. But when I heard the truth and I practiced the truth, I realized that my feeling is very deceiving. It's not true at all. God's word is more true. Alright? So, don't let your feeling, you know, to make the decision. Don't base your decision on how you feel today. However you feel today, good or bad, don't base on your feeling, but obey God's truth. Seek God, know His word, and obey God's truth. And do what is right, even when you feel wrong. So this morning, you have to decide who is really in charge of your life. Is your feeling or is it God's word? Last but not least, to receive the road, the new way God has prepared for us, to receive the river God has created for us in the wilderness, first, remember to pray and pray for wisdom and revelation. Secondly, we obey God's truth more than our feelings. Third, in all circumstances, walk with God. In all circumstances, whether good or bad, walk with God. It does not mean that today, after I shared this with you, you will think that there are no more challenges in your workplace, there are no more challenges in your relationship. There will be challenges and obstacles ahead of you. They are waiting for you. But we must always remember, Christian walk is more than just about starting well. Christian walk is a journey. Christian walk is about we will finish well in Jesus Christ. That is our faith. That is our hope. There was once I went to the Lord in prayer. It wasn't really a prayer. It was more like complaining. That was some times ago, because I was going through something, so I kept complaining and grumbling about my personal struggle and situation. I keep saying to God, there's a Hokkien song, in case, alright, some of us may know, there was a show, Hokkien drama, the song goes this way, Gua Meng Ti Gua. I was singing that song in my heart, alright. Gua Meng Ti Gua Meng Ti. Alright, in other words, why God, why God? Now, but I didn't sing it out loud because I was in the coffee shop, alright? I was singing in my heart, alright? Gua Meng Ti, why like that? And after my complaint, then suddenly there was a silence. And I knew. You will know, right? When God wants to speak to you, sometimes He will prepare you in ahead. For me, I know that when God wants to speak to me, there's a sense of silence. So I felt God wants to speak to me. So I was waiting. I thought God would say to me, you know, Joe, whatever problem you're going through today, I want you to know I'm with you and I will overcome them with you. Maybe God will say something from a scripture. In Christ, all things are possible. So I was expecting words like that, that maybe would encourage me. But it wasn't. As I was waiting for God to speak, God said this to me. He said, Joe, what if this is something I want you to walk through? That really kept me silent for a while. What if this is something I want you to go through? I kept silent, but I know this is the best thing to do. So initially, I sing, Gua Meng Ti, Gua Meng Ti. When I heard that, my songs changed. I surrender all. So I say, you know, Lord, I surrender all. I walk with you. I do not know how it will be like, but I'm going to walk with you. But then I realized that through that journey, God was teaching me about brokenness. God was teaching me about the importance of being humble before Him. And He's saying to me that if He wants to do a new thing in my life, I must first learn how to be broken before Him. Unless I'm broken, He can't do the new things in my life. So if God is putting you something difficult, it's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because God doesn't care about you. It is because God is doing something new in your life. So you don't give up at the point of brokenness. You continue to walk with God by faith and hope in Him. I want to end with one more story that I love a lot. It's found in John 21. It's a story about Jesus, one of Jesus' favorite, best disciple, Peter. And in John chapter 21, is a story after Jesus had resurrected. And Jesus met the disciple, and it is Peter and the rest of them by the beach for barbecue. And Jesus was preparing fish burger for them. And while they were eating enjoying the breakfast, and then Jesus said to Peter, Peter, come. Join me for a walk. Now to understand that, to really appreciate what was really happening, you must first understand what Peter had gone through. First of all, we all know, Peter was one of the first who said to Jesus, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Peter was the one who was the first one to say, He is the Son of the Living God. I will never go, I will never betray you. But what happened to Peter? He betrayed Jesus 3 times. Not just to any people, but to someone that trusted him, someone who loves him. So I want you to imagine, Peter betrayed Jesus, and all the things that he had promised, he broke it. I want you to imagine at the situation, how did he really feel? I think there's a lot of shame and guilt. If you keep thinking about the past, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that. You know, there's a lot of shame. So for him to say, Jesus, I walk with you, is a very difficult decision. He needs the courage to do that. And we know that Peter was a man who has a lot of confidence initially. But after all these things had happened, we also realized that Peter had become so broken. He lost his confidence in the future. I believe at that point, Peter, you know, he has lost his hope about his future. And that was the state that he was in. So for him to take the courage, for him to step out and follow Jesus, he needed to have a lot of courage. But he chose to walk with Jesus despite how he feels. He chose to walk with Jesus despite what he has done wrong against Jesus. Because if not, he will be like Judas. What happened to Judas? Judas did the same thing. He betrayed Jesus. But what happened to Judas? He dwelt on the mistakes. He dwelt on the failure. And then what happened? He committed suicide. So Peter could end up in this way. But he chose to walk with Jesus. He took the courage and walked with Jesus. So he walked. And as he walked with Jesus, he began to see that God has never abandoned him. He began to see that God has never forsaken him. Even after all the mistakes, God has not given up on him. Not just that. As he walked with Jesus, he began to see ahead of him, there was already a road prepared for him in the wilderness. Ahead of him, there was already a river created for him as he walked with Jesus. And then Peter, we know, he became one of the greatest apostles that we found in our Bible. Maybe some of us today, you feel that I've messed up my life in 2018. You felt that you identify what Peter has gone through, and you felt that you're not worthy to come back to Jesus again. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is here to invite you to walk with him. Don't give up on him because he has not given up on you yet. He loves you and he has a plan for you. Maybe some of us have given up your faith in God because you cannot see a way in the wilderness, because you cannot find your river in the desert. Maybe you got distracted by your success and you have walked away, you have distanced yourself away from God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not hesitate to respond to his invitation. Seek him today, obey him, and walk with him. And you will see his love, you will see his way in the wilderness and river in your desert. I believe God has brought cruise through ups and downs for all this year. In all this year, for one purpose, he wants to do a new thing for his church. A church that will glorify his name. A church that will bless the community. A church that he desires it to be. So I want to encourage us, let God do what he wants to do in our lives and for the church. Let us surrender our past to him and look ahead for the new things God wants to do in Coos and in your life. So I may invite us to stand as we have the response songs. As we're going to sing the response songs, two things I want to do for this morning. The first thing we want to do for this morning is, we believe that God has a plan for the church and he's already preparing something. In fact, I would say that the road, the plan is already out there in the wilderness. He has already created the river in the desert. But we must look beyond our past and look ahead what God has prepared for us. And so what should we do? How do we respond? Now God has given his invitation. I remember the stories in Joshua, in the book of Joshua. Before God prepared Joshua to enter the promised land, the first thing that God asked Joshua to do is not to submit his plan and submit his strategy first. The first thing that God asked Joshua to do is consecrate yourself, consecrate your people. And I believe this is what God wants us to do in the beginning of the year. Not so much on what we want to do for God, I think God is calling us this morning. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. Position yourself. Be ready. You know, in the position where God can move us. So if we sing this song, we're going to sing this song as a response. That God will prepare our hearts, a generation that in all circumstances, we will always seek His face. So that will be our response. And then after that, I want to give an opportunity for some of us that you felt you have left your faith, but you want to renew your relationship with Jesus today. I'm going to give you an opportunity later on to respond. But before that, we want to concentrate in God. We want to pray for Holy Spirit to move right now. We're going to sing these songs. And we're going to ask, Lord, consecrate our hearts. Prepare our hearts for the new things you want to do for KUS and our lives. Thank you, O Lord.
Bend our knees, O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes, from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. We bow our hearts. We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us cleanness. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to
give opportunity to some of us here. Maybe you have left your faith in God may not be in 2018, but maybe you have left your faith in Jesus for some times. But God's word spoke to you today. You want to renew your relationship with Him. So if you're that person today, this morning, you want to renew your relationship with Jesus. You want to seek His face and trust Him again. May I invite you to put up your hands so that we can quickly pray for you. And when you put up your hands, just help me to put it higher so that I can see you. Is there anyone here this morning? Yes, I see your hands. I see your hand. Is anyone else? I see your hand. Keep your hands up, please, my brothers and sisters. I will keep my hands up as well. Now, for the rest of us, shall we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have lifted up their hands? They want to renew their relationship with Jesus. Let us pray for them. Let us pray that the Lord, you know, will not just renew his relationship with him, but the Lord will bring them even closer to him than never before. Let us pray for him right now. Let us take about a minute to pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you saw those hands were put up. Lord, you know their hearts today. Today, Lord, they are here not by chance. They are, even before they were here, Lord, you already know the condition of their hearts. But you love them. And you are calling them back to you. So, Father, we thank you. You are such a great God and such a good God who will never give up on any one of us. Even we ran away from you. Even when we choose to deny you, Lord, you never give up on us. You will keep chasing after us till we respond to you. Father, we thank you for your love and for those who put up your hand. Father, bless them. And I pray that in this new season, Lord, this season, Lord, they will experience, Lord, the new relationship with you. The power of the Holy Spirit be upon them. Lord, they will live a life of fruitfulness, and in everything that they do, Lord, they will always be full of your joy, love, and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to fulfill your purpose and your will upon their lives. Thank you, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Alright, so my brothers and sisters in Christ, step in faith in 2019. Seek God, look ahead for the new thing God wants to do in your life. Alright? And before we close, we want to do the family thing. Okay? Let's do it one time, and then I will say the prayer of blessing. Alright, let's get ready. Alright, shake your body. Alright, some of us are shaking. Let's start. Alright, first, have fun at all times. Turn to your neighbor. Affirm always. Make time to connect. Ignore offenses. Listen with understanding. And then the last one. Sorry? Yeah, that's right. You are not alone. Chancellor Weilani, yeah? Okay, hold hands. In the count of three, we'll say kuss together. Ready? One, two, three. Kuss! Alright, praise God. Let me say a blessing before we go, shall we? Father, I want to bless them. Bless my brothers and sisters in Christ in 2019. Lord, all the things they've done in the past, good things, pray that you help us to learn from them. Those bad things, help us, Lord, to surrender them to you. But the most important thing, in 2019, we continue to seek you for the new things you want to do in our lives. And may the blessing of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.hoos.org.sg. God bless.